right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number, Sherman. You can call in now. And we'll get to you. You know, Sandy, I was reading this article this morning, and it is an article in The Hill, and it's from Bernard Goldberg. You ever heard Bernie Goldberg? He's an opinion contributor, and for The Hill, and he's been around a long time, well known. And he talked about the fact that why I quit the GOP. There's something going on inside of the Republican Party, and whether, you know, people like CJ or others don't want to face it, it is. Donald Trump is, and here's what, Sandy, he's as powerful a personality that there's ever been, whether you like him or not, in the political arena, ever.
Yeah, I think, well, certainly in the modern era of media, where personalities can have such a broad reach and have such a direct relationship with so many people, Donald Trump has been the best at exploiting that kind of relationship that's been created through the media.
You know, Sandy, the reason that it keeps just grinding on me is because it's almost like our government can't prevent him. We see that he's not good for, I think it's safe to say Donald Trump is not good for our nation. A guy who's selfish, self-centered, will do anything possible. Not the most learned guy, Sandy. You know, character's not the greatest. He's not just the kind of guy that you would say, people would say, this is, you wanted to find someone to represent our country and our government, you wouldn't go and say, well, here, Donald Trump, that's the guy we want.
Well, to me, he manifests most clearly the division between power and principle. And he's made it very clear that he stands for power. And he's going to exercise all of the power he has to the max, because he said that's the way. He's even written about that you know, that you want to frighten people. That frightening people is a way of exerting power, and you want to exert as much power as you can control. And furthermore, the Republican Party has adopted this principle that it's most important that they remain in power. And so principle has become less important, and it's been dropped away institutionally. Whether the individuals within the party retain personal principles is another question. I personally think that Mitch McConnell has to swallow hard every morning, because I think he does understand the principles that he actually personally stands for, and he has to swallow them every day that he doesn't bring them to the fore and basically fight against the Trump version of the Republican Party. I think he was breathing a big sigh of relief that day after January 6th when he could say, enough, we're done.
Right.
You know, Lindsey Graham, same way, enough, I'm done. And then once again, the power was reasserted by Trump. It reemerged as a populist hero, and all these people knuckled under, gave up their personal principles, and resubjected themselves to the power. It's really satanic in nature, and I'm saying that much more prosaically than I am judgmentally. I just think that the power that's being exerted has this satanic aspect to it, and much of this power over principle is dependent on the notion that liberals are un-American, that if liberals get a hold of power in America, they will tear apart the fabric of society, tear apart the fabric of American society, and therefore the means justify the end. It's terribly important for the Republicans to stay in power to keep that from happening. And they are manifestly acting that out. They're trying to restrict voting rights, and they're clearly doing it in a manner that's designed to make it as hard as possible for those who aren't Republican to vote. I mean, it's all being done scientifically, but it's being done very clearly.
You know, Sandy, it's us against them. It's the Hatfield and the McCoys, and it's happening at a time, I think, Sandy, when our nation can least deal with it.
Yeah, but interestingly, you started this show with a discussion of the John Birch Society.
Right.
The John Birch Society was a sort of an echo of the Joe McCarthy era. It was a time when liberalism was viewed as being communist pinkos, and a liberal was a pinko, and pinkos were dangerous people who would bring this country under a rule of communist sympathizers, which would ruin America. And I think that that's exactly the image now that's been painted of liberals, which is, without saying it, that liberals are essentially pinkos, people who will destroy the fabric of American society, and they need to be stopped in all and any way possible. And that's why power has been gotten ascendancy over principle in the Republican Party, because the Republican Party views its fundamental purpose as being the need to block the ability of liberals to take control of our country and tear it up.
Well, here's the part of that, Sandy, and I concur 100%. But here's the part of it I don't understand. We just had the governor on, and the governor was talking about the fact that the opioid crisis is the number one killer in our nation now. Young people are dying like flies, and families are being destroyed.
Well, and all over the state of Wisconsin.
Yes.
It's not just in this city. It's not an urban problem anymore, which is when it jumped out of the urban areas and into rural and suburban areas, it became a national crisis.
And that's what it is,
yeah.
A national crisis. And that's and the lawsuits against the major pharmaceutical corporations and all of that.
Well, you saw Walmart, these major retailers are being asked to pay, I think, $750 million.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Because of the sheer numbers of people who are caught up in this and their families.
Well, but then I think Governor Evers mentioned the reason, which was they didn't want to be able to have the Republicans
get
blocking
away.
It because they didn't want to have any success attributed to Governor Evers during this election year. So instead of following principle, which would be to take this $48 million or whatever the number was and deploy it rapidly in Wisconsin to try and deal with the opioid crisis, they took it out of the budget. Well, that's power over principle.
Yes, but then I don't understand how, if I'm a person who's a Republican or a conservative and I've been voting that way,
mm-hmm.
And then I see that my party is holding up something as critically important as that. I've got to challenge my party. Hey, wait a minute. I'm with you on certain things, but there are other things that don't make sense at all.
Well, I think the Republicans have learned that what goes on in Madison and what goes on in Washington and all this legislation actually does stay there. It's viewed as complications. What was in the budget, what isn't in the budget. When someone out there, Tom, Dick, and Mary open the paper or listen to something and it's about the state budget or the federal budget, their brain goes numb, okay?
Yes.
So I didn't know that $48 million was in the budget that was now being taken out of the budget. Governor Evers had to tell me about that today. So I think the Republicans, these people who want to preserve power over principle, have realized that they can do whatever they want with respect to principle within legislation, and it gets ignored.
Well,
keeping Garland from being going from nomination to into a vote in the Senate for the approval of his nomination it didn't matter.
You know, Sandy, you talked about the fact, again, the governor, that $48 million was removed. We're not in Madison. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what the issues are that they're voting on and those types of things. I remember constantly talking with the state representatives and state senators representing where I live, and I would say to them, you guys should make the citizens aware of the things that are going on that state level. We don't know what's going on, you know, with these votes and all those things. How can we be on time? Well, you know, it's public record. Well, that it may be public record, but the average person's busy trying to live their lives. These kinds of things that really impact their lives, shouldn't we expect our officials to kind of bring that information to us and let us know that this is what's going on? I mean, we can't bird dog every vote that's taking place in Madison or Washington, D.C. This is a representative government. There are mouthpieces, right?
Right. And I just think that, like I've said before, though, things have gotten complicated, and complications are, and as things have gotten complicated, I think the American public has increasingly tuned out of complications. We used to have the media, which had the fairness doctrine, and which I think used to try to present things balanced. It isn't balanced. Now, you can turn on MSNBC, it's not balanced. You can turn on Fox, it's definitely not balanced. None of these stations are balanced. So you begin to get a very jaundiced view of whether you can wrap your arms around all of the complexities. I think what has to happen, you know, getting back to this sort of this problem of power over principle, is liberals have to reassert their power over the American flag and patriotism, and say that this is not a partisan. You know, they have to get rid of the whole subliminal message, which the American public is sort of bought into. Even liberals have to concede that the Republican Party has wrapped itself in the American flag and in the concept of patriotism, and liberals have become, and me as well, have become sort of disgusted with the principle of patriotism, because we wrap patriotism in the flag of all these conservative principles, right, which have seized it. So is patriotism married to gun rights? Is patriotism married to the right to life movement? If it is, then we don't want to be patriots. Liberals don't want to be. And so we have to get rid of it. We have to get rid of that combination and have to say that, look, we're all real Americans. Okay, liberals and conservatives are all real Americans. There is no risk to the American principles of democracy and the republic if we have liberals in control or conservatives in control. But that really isn't the way the American public is looking at it now.
You know, Sandy, we're all real Americans. That's the message that has to be the winner in the end, right? If that's not the winning message in the end, then we're all doomed. Then America is doomed.
Right.
People may not want to hear that, but it is doomed.
Well, I think the problem is that the parties, each party has to stop believing that their version of the best America is the only version that should occur, right? So the conservatives think their version of the best America is the one that has to prevail. And if it doesn't prevail, America's in danger.
You know, Sandy, version, kind of like, you know, the New Testament, according to.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's really where we are. Somebody's version of America. We're all entitled to that. Right?
Right.
But none of it is absolute when we're talking about version.
Right. And so we were talking off the air, and I guess we're maybe going to have another break.
Right.
But I think the real problem America has is developing a unified set of values amongst the American public. And if we all shared some real common values, we'd have a great deal more difficulty having this detached view of and this bias against one another. And we'd all have a sense that whatever the version of America, we are all Americans in our basic values, and that's what's important. And we don't share a view of basic values.
Well said, Sandy. You got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. You know, I'm looking at Ron DeSantis.